entitled All About This Ministry. This is message number 2 on the same subject. I'd like to continue on it with this recorded message that we can retain for all that's in the ministry as well as in the congregation this morning. All of our friends that's scattered around in this hemisphere, we thank the Lord for them, and we try to send those that support the ministry a copy of the Sunday morning message here in the Calvary Chapel Church of God. And you folks here are a part of a ministry that spreads further than the environs of Jacksonville, and you folks that will hear this by cassette are members of a ministry that are part of what is here standing before me this morning, the members of this church and ministry in Jacksonville, and we're your brothers and sisters, and all of them with one accord send you their love and prayers with faith. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Hear that? Now, you folks that hear this by cassette, you know that we love you, and we send you our love and best regards, and I want you to remember that we always pray for you. And ask God to bless these messages to you that we mail to you through cassette recordings. All right, on the message, All About This Ministry, number 2. Beginning with a parable of Jesus Christ in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 33. Another parable spake Jesus unto them. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole were leavened. I want to read that again. Jesus gave this parable saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, like yeast or like baking powder, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. There's 3 measures of meal now, and the woman hid in 3 measures of meal, and she waited till the whole 3 became one lump. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. Sometimes you overlook the meaning of that and what the Lord is telling you. She had 3 measures of meal. They were separate. And she put leaven in them until all 3 of them came together and made one beautiful lump of bread. Praise God. That's wonderful. And that's what the Lord is doing in this ministry. Jesus told in the 10th chapter of John about other sheep he had which were not of this fold, them also must I bring with me. He was speaking about some that he never got to preach to, because he again and again asserted that Jesus of the Father sent me not, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When he sent out his 12 apostles in his own lifetime, now after he gave them the great commission, and the Holy Ghost fell on them, it was a different commission, but he commissioned them in his lifetime. During his 3 years of earthly ministry, he said, go ye not in the way of the Gentiles, neither in the way of the Samaritans. Go only to the lost house of Israel and minister to them. Now, after the Holy Ghost came upon them, his commission was vastly different. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and unto every creature. Now the Lord is speaking here of the kingdom of heaven. You want to note that carefully. The kingdom of heaven, when it literally comes upon earth, will be the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And getting people into that kingdom of heaven is one of the steps in getting them into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will come at the end of the kingdom of heaven, or the reign of God the Father will come after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Then the kingdom of God will come down upon earth. That's recorded in the 21st chapter, but also the 22nd chapter of Revelation, especially chapter 21, where John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Then he went on and said, I saw that new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her husband. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is the tabernacle of God with men, and God shall dwell with them. Not just Jesus, but the Father's going to dwell with them. And there'll be no more sorrow, nor suffering, nor pain, for the former things will have passed away. And he saw that new city come down, New Jerusalem. Heaven came right down here on earth. Now, heaven is not going to be on earth in the day of Jesus Christ reigning 1,000 years. And the people in that kingdom will be both good and bad, as the Lord gave the parable in Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. He told his servants to go out and bring into the kingdom of heaven both good and bad into that kingdom. All right, Jesus goes on and he gives another parable. I want to go down a good ways into this chapter, verse 47 in Matthew 13. Jesus said again in a parable, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. And when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus Christ here was giving many parables of the kingdom of heaven. Another great parable is in verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. Now I'm getting to something here that's very important in the lives of the people of this end time generation to get God's people even into the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, there's going to be a discipline, rule, and lordship of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years with his bride at his right hand as princes that he'll set in rule over all the earth to rule them with a rod of iron. Well, that's brought out in bold detail in Revelation 2:26. He said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things and keepeth my works to the end, and he'll rule all the nations with a rod of iron. He'll rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be broken as a potter breaketh a vessel in shivers. They'll be broken. And I'll give him the morning star. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. Now listen, consistency is something the Lord requires of every Christian. God don't give you $1 million reward for a two-bit effort, I'm here to tell you. If you make a two-bit effort, you're going to be a two-bit Christian in the kingdom of heaven. And one of the great and wonderful principles of the kingdom is, like the woman that hid the leaven into three measures of meal till the whole were leavened, the work of the kingdom on this earth in this end time is not a loud and boisterous commotion that's going on to attract the attention of everyone. It is a subtle infiltration. It is a subtle working, almost like termites undermining a house or a thief entering into a home unobserved, undetected. And of course, the Lord likens his coming back to a thief to take away the jewels, stealing in as a thief in the night. Jesus makes that warning, I'll come like a thief. And the thief comes to get the jewels and takes them away. He doesn't come for paste pearls. And the Bible tells us plainly here in the words of Jesus Christ in these great parables that the kingdom of heaven is like a woman that put leaven in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And God is working in this end time to bring the work of the kingdom in its great effect upon all segments of the church. I don't know where the Lord had it in mind or not when he was speaking here of three measures of meal, speaking of people that are barely saved. Others are sanctified. Others are filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And there's three classes of people in the church. I don't know for sure. But there's one thing about it. The division of the kingdom was in three parts. And the Lord said that the subtle, the infiltration of the working of the Spirit of God into the harmonious effort that will be made in the last time will be a subtle, quiet working that will bring into harmony the will of God upon this earth. Like Jesus said for us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, When you pray, say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I'll tell you, that's just something that God wants to see affected in the lives of every Christian, is to see the kingdom of heaven in every one of us. Now the scribes and Pharisees came to Jesus, and they wanted to know about where this kingdom was, literally, in the gospel age. And they came to him in the 17th chapter of Matthew, or Luke rather, verses 20 and 21, and said, where is the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, don't say here, look here, or look there, because behold, the kingdom of God is within you. First, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven must be within us for us to get into that wonderful, that extravaganza of the majesty and the manifestation of the manifold goodness of God that he'll manifest freely upon the people that are fortunate enough to get into the kingdom of heaven and be under the rule of Christ and his saints for 1,000 years. It's going to be a glorious and wonderful time. Amen. And you talk about an extravaganza, one when the devil's bound, when the curse is lifted from off the earth. There'll be still sin here. There'll be sinners here. But there won't be any devil to tempt them. There won't be any curse to bring forth weeds and to bring forth all kinds of other things that will destroy, because the Bible said, in my holy mountain, there will nothing hurt nor destroy, praise God. The perfect peace will be in every heart, and love without alloy, when our Jesus shall come back to earth again. They got that out of the Bible. That's in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. It's in the 4th chapter of Micah. And it's in the 65th chapter of Isaiah, and other wonderful chapters in the Bible that God reveals the kingdom of heaven in. The kingdom of heaven has been described by Jesus Christ as a place where God will test and will perfect that which is lacking in the lives of his people. He will test the natural people at the end of that reign, and all of his saints will be perfected during the reign of Jesus Christ. Those that aren't perfected now. Those that are perfected now will be rulers with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. But what I want to do is make the application of what we're doing in this ministry. That God does not want the kingdom of God or heaven to come as he told the Pharisees in Luke 17 and 20. He said, the kingdom of God cometh not with outward observation. It don't come with natural show. It don't have a natural extravaganza now. That comes later. Praise God. We're not out here having pageantry and having all kind of medicine shows to try to show the abilities that we have, the gifts we have, the grace that God has manifested in our lives. It has to be a quiet manifestation, like the woman that hid the leaven in the 3 measures of meal until it all quietly was leavened together. It was a quiet working and moving and an effect of the Holy Ghost in the Word of God, in the lives of God's people, that quietly marched the 3 measures of meal. We are the leaven that brings the 3 parts together in its beauty, in its complicity, but yet its simplicity, because it's a quiet, unobtrusive manifestation of the Holy Ghost through the people of God. God does not want a noisy manifestation. My Lord, have mercy. On the day of Pentecost, they had a noisy manifestation of the entrance of the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God upon earth. And after that, they went quietly on their way, bringing in the leaven of their righteousness and holiness and faith and love, quietly working, manipulating the lives of many people through the power of their prayers and faith, that people never even realize what was taking place in their lives. That's when it's really effective. When God gets the glory, it's when the Lord does it through your prayers, through your witness, and through your example, and quietly he moves in upon them. Because you prayed for them, you sought God for them, you loved them. Thank the Lord, you reached them with a message of restoration. And that message quietly goes about its effect. And I love what God says about that effect is. All right, verse 33 in this same chapter again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole were leavened. In Mark the 4th chapter, and I want to leave that. Mark the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 26. I'm going to begin in verse 23. Because Jesus said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now let's hear this. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, and what measure ye meet, and it shall be measured to you again. Now he's talking here in the same terminology about that woman or those three measures of meal. Now be careful the way you measure. And unto you that hear shall more be given. If you're willing to hear, if you're willing to be consistent, and respond and react to what you hear that is the right thing, that is the truth, then he said you're going to get much more than that old lame Christian that's always around crippled and hobbling around. Oh Lord, it reminds me of that scripture in the 12th chapter of Hebrews verse 13 where it says, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Most Christians today are crippled. The devil's got them all crippled spiritually. They're maimed. They're blind. They're halt. Go around just like that. And they don't see nothing. They don't hear nothing. They don't sense nothing. And the Lord said, make straight paths with your feet and let it be healed, lest it be turned out of the way and be destroyed. Now he said, hear, if you will hear, more will be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And Jesus said, so is the kingdom of God. If a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. You don't know how it is. Okay? You go out and put seed in the ground for a garden. And you go out there two or three days later, and you look. And you say, well, I know it's time to come. I believe I'll go back in the morning. Next morning you go back up there, and the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, Jesus said. The blade, then the ear, then the full ear and the corn. You go out and just keep looking, and you keep looking. You don't know how that thing grows. You don't know how that the death of that seed was a prelude to the resurrection of it. You don't know how it resurrected. You just know it happened. You didn't hear no dirt. You didn't hear nothing moving. It cracked the dirt. It exploded out of that cover. I think in biology they call it the ANIL, whatever that is. I don't know. But anyway, it's the covering of a seed. And you go out and look. And you don't know how in the world it did that. You can't explain it, and nobody else can. But it said, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put in the sickle because the harvest is come. And he said, so it is with the kingdom of God. We cast seed. We go forth bearing precious seed. But we don't know how it operates. We know one thing, it operates quietly. And it operates more effectively, quietly, than it does noisily. You take an old noisy Christian, you get one saved, and he's a noisy rascal. You get him saved in the noise, and he'll be noisy the rest of his life. And most of the time, he'll destroy more good than he'll do. All right, the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Ladies and gentlemen, this ministry has to be a quiet ministry. We do a lot of waiting. We do a lot of seed bearing and planting. And we do it like the Bible says in the book of Psalm about Psalm 126. The last two verses said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But you don't do it noisily. Now, I'm not talking about lifting your voice. That ain't what he's talking about. He's talking about going out and crying for attention. Trying to get men's attention. You might cry out to men. I mean, you're not trying to get the attention of the crowd. You may be trying to hold the interest of the crowd God's given you. You may be trying to bear down and make them conscious that they're hearing God's message, but you're not out trying to attract attention to yourself. If you cry, it's to attract attention to the seed you're bearing, the Word of God. And you do it with quietness. Isaiah 55, 10, 11, as the rain cometh down in the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man planting seed in the ground. You don't make a great big noise. A tractor might, but you don't. You go out there and dig that ground. Unless it's got rocks in it, you won't even hear nothing. Besides, you're supposed to get the rocks out. You plant the seed, and they lay there quietly. That seed germinating there in the warmth and the moisture of that soil and sun. And you go out and look day and night. I wonder what's happening to my seed. I wonder what's happening to my seed. And Jesus said that's the same way it is when we're sowing seed for the kingdom of God. It's like a man that sows his seed and he rises day and night. Said, let me go out and see if there's anything happening. Let me look at it. Let me look at that seed again. Let me look at that fella with that heart I sowed that seed in. Let me look at him, see if I can see any changes in him. Sometimes you look a long time. You pray. You go forth bearing that precious seed with weeping. With weeping. What waters them seed? Your tears. You bear them and you water them with the tears that you shed. And with that love, that warmth, that sunshine, S-O-N-S-H-I-N-E, warms that seed. And you keep looking. Finally, sometime you get around them, you mention something to them about the Lord, and you see a tremble in their chin. You see a tear trickle. Like one old Hollywood guy used to sing a song, said, one little tear let me down. Praise God. Boy, that one little tear many times does let you down. Let you know that that seed has not been sown in vain, that it's germinated. You see the blade, you don't see the fruit yet. Next thing you know, Lord have mercy, God's got a hold of them, then you see a stalk. And then the next thing you know, if they go on to the Lord, you'll see the full ears of corn begin to come up. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And it's just as quiet. And it doesn't create any excitement or observation except to the ones that know what to look for. Lord, have mercy. It's a quiet, effective, unobtrusive. That means without attracting a lot of attention and fanfare. You see the working of that seed of the Word of God. That's why God wants us to be quiet. In the beginning of this ministry, in 1967, in December, God gave me the revelation that began this ministry. Oh, I was already preaching up a storm. Good night. I was preaching more then than I am now. But I was preaching like an evangelist, going from city to city and church to church. The Lord gave me the revelation, a vision. And I've told it a number of times. And that vision was a vision of about 200 people being in an assembly room in a motel conference room. And I began to speak to that group of people. Some of them I knew and some of them I didn't. And my message left me. And I prayed and the Lord gave me two verses to read to them in Jude 22 and 23, which read like this: if some have compassion, making a difference. Others say with fear, pulling their out of the fire, hating their garments spotted by the flesh. Now, the Lord didn't say in that vision, you go around healing everybody who's about to perish. He said you could pull them out of the fire. Pull them out of the fire means you keep them out of hell. You keep them out of hell. Let me tell you, there's a lot of Christians who are going to die with cancers and heart troubles and a lot of other things. They wait too late. They waste their lives. They waste their God-given opportunities and those golden moments God has loaned them to used for his glory, they don't see it until it's too late. But then we had to pull him out of the fire, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. But the Holy Ghost spoke to me and says, those like these in this room, this will be the manner in which you will recruit those that I'll put into your hands. They'll come through this man. And they will support this ministry. And they that consistently and regularly will join and support that ministry and hold up your hands to the Lord, you have compassion on them and make a difference, because I will have compassion on them and I will make a difference between them and other Christians. You know what I said? God said people that will support this ministry consistently, have a heart for it, love it, love the message, want to help someone else with it, to restore them. See, the feature message of this ministry is restoration. Restoration means to return to an unimpaired condition something that was all messed up. Get them back and restore them to an unimpaired condition before God. And the Lord said, together with those that I give you, you'll be able to pull many back out of the fire that are blind and dumb to the dangers of what's going on in the church today. They won't see it until it's too late to restore them. But you can pull them back out of the fire. You can save them from hell. Isn't that wonderful? By God, it's better to slip a man off into the graveyard saved than to let him live and be lost. What do you want to live and go to hell for when you can die and go to heaven? Well, that's the whole tenor of the gospel, is to get a man in the kingdom of heaven. You get him in the kingdom of heaven if you get him saved. If you get him out of the fire, we may not get him in the kingdom of God. He'll have to go through the 1,000-year reign of Christ and be disciplined and perfected. But God has a special school for 1,000 years for those kind of people. Isn't that wonderful? They got another chance, not to be saved, but to be perfected. My Lord, that's what the millennium reign's all about. Rod of iron, a discipline that they can't resist it. Praise God. No choice in the matter, see? No choice. I love that. Praise God. Let me tell you, the Lord said, you go quietly on your way. In the book of Lamentation, I love old brother Jeremiah. In the book he wrote it on Lamentations, I even like it sometime even better. But in the book of Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, I want you to look at that quickly with me. The Lamentations of Jeremiah. They are the Lamentations of Jeremiah. I thought I was to it. All right, I want you to listen to verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait. Quietly wait. Let me impress that upon you. Quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth while you're young. Come on, get under the yoke and let Jesus Christ put you to work. Let the Lord, let the preacher, the man of God put you to work before you dissipate your energy and find out your steps are getting weaker. Your energy is lessening every day. And you say, well, I wished I had the opportunity. You've had it! God ain't going to reward you sitting around being an old knot on a log, a lazy bone, a rapscallion, always got a dozen excuses when you need a tonic of good sound reasons to shake all over you like high life and get you moving. And you can do it quietly. You don't have to make a big fuss about it and a big noise and say, look here, boy, I finally got on the right track. Just watch me now go. Like 2 Timothy used to say, I can move faster if I want to. Well, you ought to want to all the time. Praise God. Not just when I'm watching you. Lord, have mercy sakes. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says that you study to be quiet and to work with your own hands and attend to your own business. Quietly. When that vision was given me in that great room of 200 people God had called to this ministry, I asked the Lord when it was all over. Now, I had been fasting 6 days. And when I say fasting, I didn't eat nothing. I wasn't eating anything. It wasn't one of them doodads they call fasting today, you know, where you fast till 6 o'clock and then you eat like a China polling hog, and then you don't eat nothing till 6 o'clock the next day. That's not fasting. No sense of the word is that fasting. I'd been fasting 6 days and hadn't eaten nothing. And the Lord gave me that vision. When I came out of the vision, I said, Lord, how in the world will I ever get to do anything? I was like Gideon when the Lord found him back in Judges, the 6th chapter, and he was behind the barn threshing little wheat, trying to sustain his life and him and his family, hiding from the Philistines. They were occupied. I mean, they were like grasshoppers in the land. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, you mighty man of valor, God's with you. He said, oh, my Lord, if God's with me, what am I doing behind the barn? God doesn't bring a man out of a great, big, publicized move to promote him and to present him as his man of the hour or his prophet. God brings a man out of obscurity and quietness. God had told me for years to be quiet. Don't you publicize. Don't you mix and mingle with the big shot preachers in your organization. Stay away from them. Keep yourself little. And when I asked the Lord how we were going to get the message that he was burning in my heart and soul and giving me by his revelation, how we're going to get it in the churches, he said, don't you exalt yourself. You just quietly begin to get on radio and in a magazine, I'll show you how to do it. And you just begin to quietly publish and preach and teach the message I give you without reflecting or projecting any attention to yourself. Let the attention be on the message and not the messenger. And the message will get through. See, today, what gets through is the messenger. You don't hear nobody talk about what Oral Roberts or Billy Graham preaches. It's just about Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, Shambach, somebody. Never what they preach. It's always about the man. They failed. God said, you be quiet. You be quiet and I'll get it done. And isn't it wonderful, all the wonderful scriptures God's got in the Bible, such as Ecclesiastes, one comes to my mind, the 9th chapter, verse 17, the words of the wise men are heard in quiet. The words of wise men are heard in quiet. More than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. God wants us to be quiet. He don't want us to publicize. He don't want us to get out here and make a big noise. Psalm 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Was Jesus a noisy fella? No, he wasn't. Matthew 12, 19, the prophecy of Isaiah 45 had prophesied of him. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. You couldn't hear him above everybody else. You could hear everybody else. The only time you ever heard Jesus was when he screamed at the devil or death or the storm. He cried at Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. But he wasn't yelling at the people. He's yelling down in that hole. When he's out on the sea, didn't have those disciples of his with him. When he cried at the storm, peace, be still. And nobody hear him but them and the devil. When he cried, it was crying for deliverance. He didn't get attention. He didn't attract attention. He didn't seek attention. He avoided attention. In that very scripture there, in Matthew the 12th chapter, verse 19, you go back to verse 14, and it says, after these things, the scribes and the Pharisees held a council together how that they might destroy him. And Jesus departed from that place. He was a quiet man. He wasn't no noisy man. He didn't go around lifting up his voice for attention. you went to a restaurant where Jesus was, you probably wouldn't know he's in there. That's right. If you went to a church where he was just there, not preaching, you probably wouldn't know he was there. If he came through your town, unless God sent him, you'd never know he'd been there. He'd go right on through. He was going through Samaria, just as if his face was set toward Jerusalem. And he never stopped to fool with them Samaritans. He said, God has sent me to Jerusalem. His Father sent him. And we're to know God's will. In Isaiah, the 30th chapter, verse 15, this is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. But you said, no, we'll flee on horses. Boy, everybody likes to get in their chariot and gallop around getting people's attention. They said, no, we ain't going to sit down and rest and be quiet. We're going to get our chariot out and go around on horses. Hey, look here what I got. Chariot. Firebird. Look at me chariot. Just look at my chariot. And the Lord, he said, hey, in quietness and confidence would be your strength. They said, no, we'll flee on horses. And we'll ride upon the swift. We're going to get us some fast chariots. And the Lord said, yeah. And them guys that pursue you is going to be swifter than you are when I get through with you. In quietness and confidence, you'll be your strength. In the 32nd chapter, verse 15, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, when judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and confidence forever. The effect of righteousness is quietness. The effect of righteousness is quietness. And assurance. The work of righteousness. You don't remember that. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness. The work of righteousness is peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness. Lord, this ought to tell us something. And my people shall live in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. God wants us quiet. No wonder God said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 4 that the ornament of a woman should be a meek and a quiet spirit. A quiet, quiet, quiet spirit. The woman hid leaven in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. And Jesus said, such is the kingdom of heaven. That's the way the kingdom of heaven operates effectively, is in quietness, effectiveness. The work of righteousness is peace. The effect of righteousness is quietness forever. Praise God. That's a beautiful and wonderful combination there. The work of righteousness, peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness. One time God told his people under Joshua they could have the city of Jericho. Joshua met a man out there in the 5th chapter as a captain of the Lord's host and told him to pull his shoes off. You're on holy ground here, bud. He pulled his shoes off. He said, now let me tell you how to take that city. And here was the way it was. Verse 10 of chapter 6 of Joshua. Here's what he told him. That angel, the captain of the Lord's host, who you think's going to push the wall down? Them Jews? No way. That captain of the Lord's host had to push it over. With a host. Here's what he told him, verse 10. Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall you shout. You don't you shout like I tell you to. That church was a big old church, too. Now, there's some of them had their shouting shoes on. They was ready to shout. Joshua said, don't you shout. You know why they wouldn't shout? Them men of war told him, if any man don't do what you tell him to do, we'll kill him. He'll die if he don't do what you tell him to do. We'll back you. bud. Praise God. That made him strong. I tell you, that makes any man strong. You got a bunch of men that says, I ain't letting my wife run over you. I ain't letting my kids run over you. And if anybody tries to run over you, we're going to break their necks, bud. Praise the Lord. That makes you strong. Praise God. That's lifting your hands up to the Lord. That's what he'd been told. Now, Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. They went around that city one time for 6 days. They marched around the city. And then on the seventh day, verse 16, it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets. On the seventh day, they went around it seven times. Joshua said unto the people, shout! Praise God. For the Lord hath given you the city. Now you can shout, folks. And them old priests, them preachers all had a big old horn, a big ram's horn. It was a big old thing. It wasn't them little old rams like we had. They had huge rams. And some of them went curling like this. And boy, when they come down on her, whomp, them fellas began to toot that horn. And them people, them Christians that didn't have a horn, began to shout. The captain of the host of the Lord was there with the host. And the walls fell flat right in front of them. You know what Joshua's order was? To the spies he'd sent to the city, said, head to the harlot's house, Rahab, and save her alive. Number one. Number two, keep yourself from the accursed thing. Don't you touch nothing in that city. It's accursed. One fellow named Achan thought he knew more than the leader did, so he got him some silver and gold and some pretty suits, and he, before the fire, consumed them. The third order was set everything on fire. Burn it up. Then after the fire's over, we'll come back in here and get anything that could stand the fire, and we'll consecrate it to the Lord. It's the Lord's, not yours. Don't you touch nothing. Don't you touch that silver and gold. Oh, Achan, he's a I ain't letting all that get by. This is the first time I ever had a chance to do this much money. He grabbed him up all he could carry and buried it under his tent. That accursed thing brought an evil report, a reproach upon all Israel. Because God would not fight for them as long as that accursed thing was in the camp. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to keep our hands clean, our hearts clean, our houses clean. Our bodies clean, or God won't fight for us. And we don't have to go out and fight. If we'll quietly wait on the Lord, in confidence and quietness shall be your strength. We don't have to cry and get people's attention. The message we're teaching and preaching, the revelations of the Holy Ghost that we're sharing with others, is that quiet, that subtle, quiet, unobtrusive work of the Holy Ghost that's manipulating lives and hearts that you can't see it until the results begin to come in. And sometimes them results is a long time coming. Amen. And you don't know what God's doing. But I tell you what he's doing is quiet. He's quietly doing it. We can't get out here and be noise and expect God to bless us. And the people that share, that support this ministry are going to be blessed with you and I. Going to be blessed with you and I, and they're going to share into it. Old David said in Psalm 39, I said, I'll take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my lips. Thing to do is hold your peace until it's time to shout or speak. Go around rattling your trap all the time. My God, have mercy. You bring a reproach on the ministry. Wait till your heart is made hot within you. Like Brother Dave said in West Virginia, I got mad. Righteous indignation. Wait till God stirs you. Shoot. There's a lot of people can't talk till they get angry. Well, that's good if the Holy Ghost stirs up your indignation. Jesus got angry and he could speak. Moses got angry, and boy, he was very eloquent. Boy, could he talk good. He told the Lord he was of slow lips. He couldn't talk good. Aaron had a talk for me. Boy, he'd get mad he could talk. You rebels, must I fetch water out of the rock for you? Wham! Got him in more trouble. He should have been listening. That one episode got him in more trouble than he could get out of with God. He never got to the promised land. Some people's going to miss the kingdom of heaven because they won't listen. They want to hoop and holler and God leads me and this and that and the other when it's not the Holy Ghost. We need to wait on the Lord. Noah had people helping him build his ark. They quietly went about the job of preparing for the gathering storm. And those that helped Noah, those that helped him build it, were saved by the same instrument of salvation that they helped build. And people in this generation are going to have to help build the ark that they're saved upon. And it didn't mean they got out there and hit a few licks and got mad and quit, or disgusted and quit, or tired and quit, or disillusioned and quit. It meant that they were available every morning, every day. They were consistent in their help. And who was it? 7 members of his family. The rest got tired and weary and disgusted and everything else. And they were drowned. They saved themselves because they were helping to build an ark to save others. Unfortunately, others would not get into that ark. There was plenty of room for many more to be saved, but they wouldn't get in it. Until God shut the door, they saw Noah's folly being manifested. When God slammed the door, the rain began to come, and the thunders began to clap, and the lightning began to flash. And the winds began to howl with intensity. Then they saw the wisdom of that ark, but it was too late. A lot of people see the wisdom in retrospect, but let me tell you, retrospect don't save you. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's looking ahead, not behind. That old hindsight will get you in hell. That old hindsight. Who's God going to bless in this ministry? People help out and send $25 or 5 or 10 once in a while. Once in a while you're going to help. Once in a while you ain't. No, no, no. You won't be in on it. You'll see it with your eyes maybe, but you'll not taste thereof. In Luke 17, what a scripture. Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Doth the Lord thank his servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Does he, Brother Brown? What does he say? I trow not. You bet your life he doesn't. It's that. It's just that strong, this statement, I trow not. He says, so likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. When you just do the things God just jabs you and makes you do, you're an unprofitable servant. And where's the unprofitable servant going to land in judgment seat of Christ? Matthew 25. He's going to be cast into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he's going to hear Jesus say, depart from me. He ain't going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, you wicked and slothful servant. You just drag around. All you have is excuses. That's what he had on the day of judgment. I was afraid of you. I buried my talent. Here it is. Didn't use it a bit. Didn't invest it into God's work at all. Now let's see some of the rewards here of quietness just briefly here in closing. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Paul said, I will that men pray. I want you to pray with supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty and quietness. The Lord wants us to pray for the leaders of our nation. Pray for the president. Pray for this presidential election. and we'll get President Reagan back in office so we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It is acceptable. You get them other birds in there, you won't lead no peaceable and quiet life. He said, pray for them. I exhort therefore that first of all, prayers, intercessions, supplications, and giving of thanks be made for all men, especially for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. God wants us to pray for him so we can have a quiet life. He wants this minister to be quiet. He wants our voice to, my voice to be lifted up on radio, the magazines to go out, the Bible lessons to go out. He wants to infiltrate through you carrying the message, bearing precious seed quietly. He wants you to be observing, watching for your opportunity. Not be negligent and hesitating when God puts the soul in your hand. When you can sound off to reprove, exhort, rebuke, correct, instruct in righteousness. But you do it quietly. You don't barge in on people. You don't go and impress them into your counseling service. God wants you to wait quietly and then be ready. While you're musing, hold your peace while you're around somebody that don't like what you're doing and while we're preaching. Hold your peace. Now keep musing. Keep musing. Keep wondering, Lord, when are you going to open the door for me? Keep musing. And when he does, the fire will burn. Then speak with your lips. That's the time to do it. My Lord, have mercy. Psalm 107. There's a great scripture here of the effect of righteousness and what it really consists of. Psalm 107, beginning in verse 26. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They're at their wits' end. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. Boy, you come out of storm, what do you want? You want quietness. You want quietness and peace. You're tired of the stinking storm. And so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. In the last verse of Proverbs 1, talking about the fear of God, Proverbs 1:33, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. If you want to get away from the devil, be quiet. You want to attract the devil, get out and cut up. Jesus, every time he stirred the devil up in a place, you know what he did? The Bible said he departed out of their coast. And he got back into Galilee or back somewhere where them stinking Jews didn't have jurisdiction over it. You might venture off in the devil's territory, but why you want to move there for? Praise God. I want to live in Beulah land, married to God. Go off where the stinking devil's got the full control. What are you going to do? You're going to get in his control too. You're not the Apostle Paul. They didn't make many like him. They threw the pattern away. They got through with Paul. You ain't going there and calm the Philippian jailer and all that. That's the way you got to go. You'll be broken and snared and taken, disposed of quickly. The Lord said, who will hear the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you'll hearken to me, you'll dwell safely and you'll be quiet from fear of evil. That's adversity coming on you. Praise God. You need to do like David. We all do in this ministry. Psalm 131. That's a beautiful, wonderful answer to some of our prayers. Verses 1 and 2, Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, mine eyes aren't lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself. I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Isn't that wonderful? All right, in conclusion, Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. Jeremiah 30, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet. What do you think them Jews want more than anything else? They want them Arabs to leave them alone that they can be quiet. As long as you got an Arab around, you're not going to be quiet. Thinking Arabs are just about everywhere. Some form of an Arab. God have mercy. What do you want to live around them Arabs for? Well, them Jews can't help it. But God said when he's for you, you'll return and be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make you afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all the nations whither I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether punished. Now the punishment of the Lord many times is when you don't have no quiet. Now let me tell you something. God told me in the beginning of this ministry, I want you to be quiet. I don't want you to lift yourself up and promote your greatness and stick your nose and face out here on a picture or something in front of everybody and attract attention to yourself. You be quiet and let that message do its work quietly, effectively. Just get in there and like leaven, like yeast in bread. Just get in there and completely leaven the lump. That message will leaven the lump. My words that go forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void. They shall accomplish that which I please, and they shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the ground, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It does it quietly. In this ministry, to be effective and strong, we've got to stay out of the limelight and out of the public's eye. Every time you raise your voice and attract attention to yourself, you get the stinking IRS and the FBI and everybody else their attention on you. County tax agents and the state tax agencies and everybody, old scalawags of every blend and breed. God says, keep low, keep your profile low. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not exalting ourselves. We have a message. And that message is going to speak for us and represent us and bring us together with others which are not of this fold. Them will God also bring, that there'll be one shepherd and one fold for his elect and select. Praise God. I like them selects, don't you? Here we go, look in the fish market, and they got them old oysters that says, what they call them? Selects, but they're that other kind. Standards. Ah, shoot on them standards. That's the way you look at Christians. Most of them just standards. I like to look over there and get at them selects. That's the kind we're pulling for, to get the kingdom of heaven, get them in the kingdom of heaven, and get the kingdom of God in them. And it's like leaven. We're quietly, effectively carrying the message of restoration that will blend us and blend us. And like a blender and like leaven, it brings us into one lump, that our strength and energy will be one, and all of our attention will be focused as one man on one great, wonderful effort that we're all making together will be as one. And that will make us strong. And that's the purpose of this ministry, is to get a great job done, to get restoration effected, to bring men and women in the kingdom of heaven, to get them into the kingdom and get them to take the message of the kingdom to their family and friends, and make evangels and message bearers out of somebody in every family to get this message to them quietly and effectively until the whole is leavened into one lump. And with God's help, quietly and effectively, we'll see this work become stronger and stronger, because God is working to bring us together with his elect everywhere. And people begin to realize it. Now, we can't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. I like to turn that scripture around once in a while. It's still true. In due season, you'll faint if you reap not. Praise God. We're not going to faint because we're going to reap. Now, I know that. We have God's word. Thank you, Jesus. Father, bless the message, and may it bear, Lord, the full intent and impact of it on this cassette. to those that aren't present here in body this morning, Lord, take this message to them. May this cassette bear this message to them, Lord. They'll understand this ministry. We're not trying to be out here with the others and compete with them and try to raise our voice and be above them or have some kind of head-knocking confrontation with them. We're trying to avoid those acute angles that the work of the Spirit and the Word of God can be effective like leaven in the lumps, that the body is full of lumps, and bring us all together in one beautiful lump for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. God, bring us into that unity. I pray this message will be a part and parcel of it as you anoint it to every listener. We ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Praise the Lord.